In times of uncertainty and trouble, God makes us a promise. He does not promise to make the trouble go away. In fact, Jesus tells us, in this world, you will have trouble. But God promises something even better. He promises that He will be the firm foundation that's been laid for us. He promises that He will be that rock of ages in whose cleft we may hide. He promises that He will take care of us, that He will guard our souls, and He will give us peace. The Apostle Paul tells us how we should deal with times like these. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you all. Our scripture lesson this morning is Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you at the rock at Horeb, on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." So Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes, regardless of how much you try, you can't please people. And Moses knew this perhaps more than anyone in history. The Israelites had prayed to God to be delivered out of slavery. God did. They found themselves between the Red Sea and the Egyptians. The Israelites fussed at Moses. "Why did you bring us out here just to die?" God, through Moses, parts the Red Sea. After the rescue at the Red Sea, they come to an oasis, but the water is bitter. The Israelites fuss at Moses. God, through Moses in a tree, purify the water. They move on. They get hungry. What's the next line? They fuss at Moses. "We would have been better off to have been killed in Egypt. At least there we had meat to eat. You have brought us out here just to starve to death." So God gives them wafer bread, manna, and quail to eat. They move on. They stop to make camp. There's no water. The Israelites fuss at Moses, which was our scripture lesson. Cannot most of us sympathize with Moses? Moses has had about enough. Regardless of what miracles God worked among them, as soon as they hit a bump in the road, they whine and fuss. The people are thirsty this time. You know, roaming the desert tends to have that effect on people. And without water, they will die. But that's not the point. Before they even give God a chance to act, the Israelites are whining and fussing. This time they're about to riot. Moses is frustrated. Moses also fears for his life. And I believe this highly tense moment in Moses' life has some lessons to teach us. First, note Moses' initial reaction. He lashed back. "Why are you hounding me? Are you going to test God again?" Moses has had about enough of these folks. And can you blame him? Yet notice what happened when Moses responded this way. The tension escalated. Till in verse 4, Moses says, "These people are about ready to kill me." The situation is out of control. Do you ever find your life out of control? This sermon wasn't written last week. This sermon was given to Putt and Sally so they could prepare music about a month ago. Yeah, all of us find our lives out of control to a point right now. But do you ever find your life out of control in other ways? Now, if our lives are out of control because of our own doing, it's up to us through prayer and the guidance of God to make corrections and adjustments and change them. However, often our lives are out of control because of outside forces of circumstances. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's circumstances. When it's people, regardless of how much you try, they complain. Sometimes when it's circumstances, it seems like there's no good decision. Regardless of what you try to do, people or circumstance, nothing turns out right. And all you want to do is find a place to hide. Have you ever been there? You know, when we find ourselves in those situations, when we find our lives seem like they're trying to spiral out of control, we can deal with people and we can deal with circumstances through our own wisdom and our own energy. I can't speak for you, but whenever I've done that, it hasn't turned out too well. Maybe you remember an article that took place, the incident took place in April 1995. A gentleman in California got tired of roaches in his apartment. And so he decided to be proactive. He activated 25 bug bombs and closed the door. He figured he'd seen the last of those cockroaches. There was a snag, though. When the fog reached the pilot light, kaboom! Blew out every window in the apartment, blew off the door in the apartment, caught the furniture in the apartment on fire. He says, "I really wanted to kill them. I thought if I used a lot more, it would last a lot longer."
And trust me, it did.
Yeah, well,
probably.
Not the end of the story. According to the label, it would take just 2 canisters to do the job. Well, this blast caused him $10,000 worth of damage to the building. And as far as the cockroaches, a few days later, they came back. What are the cockroaches in your life? The bugs come in all shapes and all sizes. Sometimes they're people. Sometimes they're circumstances. And our basic human instinct when we run into these cockroaches is to either flee or fight. Well, sometimes there's nowhere to run, and our perceived best course of action only causes the situation to become more explosive. That's what happened to Moses. I mean, I don't blame him. But Moses' first reaction was basically, "Why you jumping my case again? Don't you people ever run out of things to fuss and whine over?" But when he did, the situation just grew worse. It just grew more explosive. To the point that Moses cried out to God, in fear for his life. One of the lessons of Moses' experience is it's not usually best to deal with matters according to our reactions, our feelings, our wisdom. In Exodus 17:4, we read on where it says, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.'" Moses is not only fed up, he's overwhelmed. What shall I do with these people? And doesn't being fed up and being overwhelmed oftentimes go hand in hand? But notice when Moses sought God's guidance, then God told him what to do, and then the situation was resolved. In verses 5 and 6, the Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out so that the people may drink." Notice in verse 5 that when Moses asked God what to do about the situation, God told him. In the New Testament, in James 1, 5 and 6, we are instructed, "If any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and unbegrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Are some roaches trying to ruin your life?" Before we toss excess canisters of explosive words or explosive actions, we would do well to ask the Lord what to do, believing that the Lord will guide us. But is it possible that sometimes we don't go to the Lord because we don't want to hear what we anticipate the Lord may say? A school teacher lost her life savings in a business scheme that had been elaborately explained by the swindler. When her investment disappeared and her dream was shattered, she went to the Better Business Bureau. And the official asked her, said, "Why on earth didn't you come to us first? Don't you know about the Better Business Bureau?" And she responded sadly, "Oh yes, I've always known about you. But I didn't come because I was afraid you'd tell me not to do it." Sometimes we don't go to God because we have a sense of what God's already going to say. And we're not real thrilled at what He has to say. But as this unfortunate school teacher, when we ignore God, we usually do so, or should I say, we always do so to our detriment. But if we do seek God's guidance, we may not know the answer immediately. I don't know about y'all, but I'm real patient in my prayers as long as God answers right then. But God doesn't always answer immediately. But if we wait on God, the answer comes. A speedboat driver who had survived a racing accident described what happened. He said he was at near top speed when he hit a wave at an awkward angle. And when he did, it shot the boat into the air one way and it propelled him down into the water the other way. And he said he was so deep in the water that he literally did not know which way was up. But he kept his wits about him. He stayed calm. And he waited for the water to grab his life vest. And when he felt himself being lifted up with his vest in the water, he knew which way was up. And he was able to swim safely to the surface. So it is with the Lord. Sometimes we're so deep in our situation, we're so deep in our decision, we honestly don't know which way is up. And it's in those times that often after we have prayed and we didn't sense that immediate answer that we saw, so often it's in those times, if we'll just wait for that buoyancy to start taking us up, that we receive messages from God, from perhaps directions we didn't expect. I don't know how many times I've been looking for an answer. And just in what the other person and I thought was just a conversation, they say something. And that spiritual light bulb goes off. God spoke to me through them. I didn't go to them looking for God to speak through them. They didn't tell me they thought God had a message for me. We were just conversing. And they said that certain thing that made something else click. And it was the word from God that I had been needing. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a fellow church member. I know you've done this before. You ever read a scripture 1,000 times? And then you read it for the 1,000th and first time? And it was like all of a sudden, I didn't know that was in there. And God gave you that answer that you had never seen before. I don't know how many times that I have been in the car running a quick errand. And there's two Christian radio stations that I like to listen to. And I'm running just a quick errand, not enough time before, but maybe one or two songs, particularly because of commercials that's thrown in there. But in that quick errand, there's that one song that had that one message that God used to speak to my heart. The point is, God doesn't always send God's answers immediately like we see portrayed in the Exodus story here. Sometimes we're like that speedboat driver that's kind of waiting for something to catch him and take him up. And sometimes that buoyancy comes from a myriad of different directions that we never expected if we just have the ears and the eyes to hear and see the messages and answers that God sends to us. But one of the lessons Moses' trials teach us is to ask God how to respond. Ask God how to act in a situation. And don't miss verse 6. Moses cried out to God for direction, and God told Moses to go to the rock at Horeb. And in verse 6, God says to Moses, I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. God was going before Moses. God is already on the rock. When Moses and the elders get there, God is already on the rock, ready to be the answer to the present whine. And in verse 7, we read where Moses follows God's directions and water flows out of the rock. Moses believed God and followed God's instruction, and the Israelites' thirst was quenched. Now, as I read this passage, I do not see any hint that Moses saw God physically on the rock. I don't see any hint that the elders of Israel saw God physically on the rock. God told Moses, hit the rock with the staff, and Moses hit the rock with the staff, and the water came out. Moses believed God was there, even though he did not see God. So let me take a chance on ad-libbing a moment. As I said, I gave Putt and Sally this message a month ago before I knew all of this stuff was going to hit the fan. Let me encourage you. None of us knows what's going to happen. I wish I could say none of us are going to catch it. I can't. I wish I could say all the grocery stores are going to stay open and we're not going to have any trouble getting groceries. I can't. I wish I could say this thing and just around the corner is going to smooth out and it's going to be smooth sailing. I can't. I don't know any more than you. But I know that God is here. And I know that if all the grocery stores close, God's still going to take care of me. Maybe I'll end up losing that other 10 pounds I've been trying to. Who knows? I know, worst case scenario, I get sick, I die. Well, if I believe what I've been preaching for the last 40 years, then I'll go to that place I've been preaching about. Not that I'm in a hurry, but that's what happens. Let me encourage you that even in the chaos, if you're afraid you can't see God, God's there. God hasn't forgotten you. God still loves you. And whatever happens, God's not leaving you. God's going to be with you. And God is going to sustain you. Well, coronavirus isn't the only thing in life we're dealing with. I bet you if we don't have time this morning, it's almost 12. We could probably spend an hour sitting in here and everybody sharing the cockroaches in your life right now. Are you fussing? Are you whining with the Israelites every time your road gets bumpy? I've been guilty. Do you try to handle things your own way, like Moses did at first, and make the situation more explosive? I've been guilty. But I encourage us all to not handle things on our own, but to remember that God is here, and the first thing we do, whether we're dealing with the world situation or whether we're dealing with our individual cockroaches, that we turn to God and we trust that God will guide us and exterminate the roaches of our life. During World War II, a father and his small boy ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. And in the front yard, there was a big old hole where another bomb had hit and exploded and left a big old shell hole. Being the only place to take cover, the father let go of the boy's hand and he jumped down into the hole. And as soon as he jumped down into the hole, he turned around and he hollered to his son, "Jump down, I'll catch you." But the little boy said, "I can't. Bombs are exploding just everywhere, and it's dark, and bombs are exploding everywhere." And the little boy is obviously terrified as the bombs are exploding everywhere. And he looks down in the darkness and he hears this voice, but he can't see any figure. And the father cries out again, "Jump, I'll catch you." The little boy says, I can't see you. And the father says, "But I see you." Then the boy jumped to his daddy. God is here. And the cockroaches that you are facing may make you feel like that in this moment you can't see God. You hear God saying, jump. But you can't see. But God sees you. So let us turn to Him. And even if we can't see in the moment, let us jump into His loving arms. Trusting God to lead us where we need to be. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, You know the frailty of us human beings. When we hit the bumps in the road, it's so easy to forget what You've done in the past. Lord, I've been guilty and I pray Your forgiveness. And Lord, sometimes in the midst of situations, we can't see You. And it's scary. But Lord, thank You that You always see us. And so Lord, as we face the big old cockroach facing the world right now, and as we face the individual cockroaches of our lives, may we not make any of our situations more explosive by depending on ourselves, but in trust, in faith, may we turn to You so that You may lead us in the way and the places we should go. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.